Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when someone does something great for you and then continues to do something great for you over and over again, be it over a number of years, that person usually sticks in your mind, don't they? And you really appreciate them. The type of person who does something for you that you know that if they call, you're going to pick it up and you're going to want to do what they ask. I have someone like that in my life. It's my uncle. His name's Uncle Bruce. And he has done some great things for me. Every time I see him, I remind him of what he's done for me, and I thank him. For example, when I was a little boy, we were at a family reunion, and I was in the hot tub in an inner tube floaty thing, and I slipped right through. Right after church, he jumped in his Sunday suit and pulled me out while my family was on the other side of the pool. Didn't care. He just went in and got me. About in college, a number of years ago, I was driving over to visit friends who were at Wisconsin Lutheran College, which was in Milwaukee, and I was at Martin Luther College in Minnesota, and I broke down near Madison, Wisconsin, if you know where that is, and that's about an hour away from where he lives, and it's the winter, December, it's cold, and I'm stuck on the interstate. So who do I call? My uncle. And he gets a tow truck out there, and the tow truck pulls me all the way, or takes me all the way back to his house an hour away, and I really thanked him for that, because that could have been bad. So every time I see my Uncle Bruce, I know I got to say thank you. And I know that if he were to ever call me and need anything, I'd want to do it. Not because I feel like I owe him, but because I want to say thank you. Do you have someone like that in your life? Someone who's been there for you, maybe at your lowest, or just in times when you had great need, and now you know that whenever they call, you just want to help out and say thank you. Whether you have someone like that in an earthly sense or not, today we get to be reminded by God's word that we have someone far greater who does that for us every day, who's always there helping us out, and today we get to give thanks for all the mercies that God has shown us. We're reminded and encouraged of this through a very beautiful story in the life of Jesus. It takes place in Mark chapter 5, and if you have some time today or tomorrow or during this Thanksgiving week, take a moment and just read Mark 5. It's a wonderful chapter where God displays his love and his mercy and his power over sin and death and the devil. He displays it not just for his people, but for all people. But in Mark chapter 5, we encounter Jesus with a number of miracles. And there's three big stories, really, and we're in the first of the three big stories. Before I read our text, because we're jumping in right at the end, so you're going to hear it and then maybe go, what happened? Why is this guy running to Jesus? I'll give you a little bit of the context and kind of summarize it for you. So Jesus was going, and he traveled across the sea, and he entered into the Gentile territory. As he got out of the boat, he's coming up on some tombs. And there's a man who was demon-possessed. He lived in the cemetery. The people didn't like him. They tried to restrain him because he seemed kind of crazy, kind of wild. He was possessed by these demons, so they tied him with ropes, but he always broke free. They put shackles around him, but he always smashed them. At night, he would cut himself with stones and weep and wail. His life was pure misery. And did I mention he was possessed by demons? So Jesus comes to him. And he comes to Jesus. And the demons shout out, "What do you want with us, Holy One of Israel?" And they beg Jesus not to send them into hell, but to the herd of pigs. 2,000 of them. And Jesus said, he drove them out with the word, and they went into those pigs, and the pigs went off the cliff and drowned in the water. Now, the townspeople heard about this because 2,000 pigs just don't go randomly jumping into a lake very often. Happens very rarely. And so they came and saw what was happening. And as they came up on Jesus at this place, they saw the man who was possessed sitting clothed, which was a surprise to them, and in his right mind. And as they saw this, they were terrified and they were scared. And they told Jesus, "Get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. It's too frightening for us." That's where our text picks up. Jesus listens to them. He obliges and he goes to get back into the boat. So now follow along with me either on the screen or on page 5. This is the conclusion of that story. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. This is the gospel of our Lord. I don't think you're surprised hearing the story about the guy who was demon-possessed, having his life not turned upside down, but turned right side up, right? As Jesus drove those demons out, it's not a surprise that he begged to go with Jesus. Makes sense, doesn't it? There he is, the one who turned his life around, who saved him from demon possession, and now gave him the peace that he has in God. He wants to go with Jesus because he knew what Jesus had done for him. He knew what his life was like, a life of torment, a life of weeping, a life of pain, a life of suffering, a literal slave of the devil. But his Savior had drove those demons out. With a little phrase, he turned his life right side up. He was once a slave of the devil, but now he is a child of God. You can catch that. As Jesus tells him, go say what the Lord has done. And who did he say did these things for him? Jesus. He was once full of pain and suffering, and now he's filled with peace and joy. He once wailed and mourned, but now he has the joy of the Lord that is his strength. He knew exactly what Jesus had done for him, and he wanted to be with that guy who had done such great things for him, who had shown him mercy. It would be hard for this guy, I think, and you can imagine with me, for him to ever forget what Jesus had done for him. Say 10 years from this moment, you think he's always going to be talking about what Jesus had done because he knew what great change it was. You cannot imagine him ever once forgetting how his life had been compared to what is now, but that constant joy of knowing his freedom in Christ, that constant joy of knowing that he once literally lived among the dead and was among the dead, but now has eternal life and is a child of the light. It'd be hard to forget that, wouldn't it? Or is it easy? I bring that question up because we're just like that guy. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. We were once slaves of sin, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and through our baptisms, he has made us slaves to righteousness, his dearly loved children. We were once sons and daughters of weeping and wailing, but now we have the peace of forgiveness and the joy of the Lord. We know what our Savior has done for us, and we rejoice in it. But isn't it easy to forget it? And when we forget it, what happens? We get angry that God hasn't done enough for us. We get upset because God hasn't met our wishes. We get despairing and doubtful and weeping and wailing because we wonder where our God is. But instead of doing that, we should look to what our Savior has done. Because what he did to that demon-possessed man, he has done for you, as we know. With a single phrase, he changed your life right side up. Happened 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross and with a little phrase told you that all of your sins were paid for when he said, "It is finished." And then another little phrase just 3 days later assured you of your eternal life. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. When we remember the greatest blessing that we have, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life and salvation given to us by our Savior, when we remember that day after day, it will fill us with joy, and especially as we get to see all the other mercies that our God has given to us. Maybe one of those reasons we forget about what God has done is because he so richly and daily and abundantly blesses us over and over and over again. It becomes so natural. But that happens because of your God, who is rich in love for you and for all people. So give thanks. Give thanks, remembering the great mercy that your Lord has shown you. As I think about this section of Scripture, the strange thing isn't what the man wanted to do. He begged to go with Jesus, right? He had a guy. He had a guy that he wanted to follow and to learn from and to be with because he knew what Jesus had done for him. He wanted to be with Jesus all the time. The strange thing is what Jesus said to him. You know, you'd think that Jesus would say, yeah, come with me. Leave these people who don't even want me there. Leave these people who are telling me to get out of here. Come follow me. Be one of my disciples. But what did Jesus say? This is the strange part. He said, no, you're not going with me. You got to stay here. You see, Jesus not only had given him the blessing of forgiveness and a new life, but now he gives him the blessing of a holy assignment, a job with meaning that he gets to go and do. And Jesus told him, he said, go to your own people, go to your home, and tell them all the great things that the Lord has done for you, all the mercy that he has shown for you. What did the man do? He didn't complain and go, but rather he listened to the word, knowing what his Savior had done for him, and he went and he did it. He went and he left, and he went to his own people, and he told them with lips singing the praises of God exactly what God had done for him, the mercies that he had shown him, not just that one time, but now day after day after day. What Jesus told them wasn't anything special. I mean, it's a holy assignment, but not anything special. He didn't say, go off to the distant lands, go off and do some incredible task. No, go live in your own vocations, those different roles that you wear. Go live among your people and just those people that are right around you. Tell the praises of God to them. Tell them what he has done for you. Nothing new. As I think about this, it reminds me of some of the research I did this past fall. I had to write a conference paper. It was thrilling. And it was on some historical things. And so I got to read two journals, one of a Lutheran pastor from Germany during World War II, which was really interesting, and then another Lutheran pastor during the American Revolution. And one thing I noticed about these two pastors, as I read their journals and some of their works that they had written, every sentence, or every other sentence, it seemed, always went back to God. Always went back to how God had done this. God had moved that. God was the driver behind all these things. That all because of this, they gave praise to God. It was constant. As I was thinking about this section of scripture, that research flashed back into my mind. And I marvel at how they just praise God with every word that they had. But it made me stop and reflect on my own conversation. How often among family and friends do my conversations go back to God, to give him praise and thanks, to sing his praises? When I'm around friends who maybe don't go to church, how often do my conversations go back to God? Or am I ashamed or scared or worried that things will change if I just keep singing God's praises, not forcing anything, but just praising God for the wonderful blessings that he's done? Beautiful truth about our Savior is that his mercy covers even those too. His mercy covers those times where we didn't sing his praises and has washed it away. And as we see all the times we failed and all the times we've sinned and all the times we haven't sung his praises, and yet he washes them away too and says, that too I forgive. It fills us with more joy to go and do what he told the man to do, to go amongst our family, friends, our own people, and to give thanks for what God has done for us, to tell them about the mercies that he has shown us. Again, nothing new, and you know it. Simple three-word phrases. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus gives you eternal life. That's what God wants us to sing his praise about. You have a guy, not just a guy, but the guy, the Savior. The one who does so much for you. He calls you to go, to sing those praises as you look back and think about all the wonderful blessings that God has done for you and to know with certainty will continue to give you. Until that day when he comes back and you get to sing those praises and give thanks to your God, not just with your own people, but with all of God's people forever in heaven. Amen.